it's not working. Yeah. Where's Joyce? Yeah.
Ready to get going?
Yep. That's right.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, 9:33. This is City Utilities Committee. I'm J.P. Matzekite, Chair. To my left is Council Member Shook. To my right is Council Member Smith. And now to my left is Council Member Shepherd. We have a quorum of the committee, and we're going to go ahead and get started. First order of business is to adopt the agenda. We have one change to the agenda. We're going to move items 7 and 9 to come at the first of Section H so that Deputy Commissioner Lewis can speak to those. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
Yes.
We have a motion, and do I hear a second?
Second.
And with second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried. I want to also introduce Council Member Young, who is joining us here to my right.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Motion is carried. Next item on the okay. Next item on the agenda is the public comments, and no one is signed up for public comment, so we'll move to the next item on the agenda, which are ordinances for first read. There are two first.
Move to accept the consent.
We have a motion and a second to accept the first reads. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Those motions are passed. Next item on the agenda is a motion to open a public hearing with regard to a piece of land that is going to be, abandoned. Yes, thank you. Do we have a motion to open the public hearing?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the ayes have it. Commissioner Johnson.
Good morning. William Johnson, Public Works Commissioner. This property was constructed, this traffic circle was constructed originally back in 1970 as part of the construction of Fierce Avenue, Fierce Drive, and Georgia Tech, and Tech Parkway. It was part of the Georgia Tech urban redevelopment area, and it was closed again in 1972. It hasn't been utilized since then, and it's always been assumed to be part of the property owned by the Board of Regents at Georgia Tech. What this ordinance will do is it'll clear up the title on that piece of property. We're totally in favor of abandoning this portion of the roadway officially and making and creating a clear title for Georgia Tech ownership.
Any questions? Yep. Yeah, this is a public hearing. Is anyone signed up to speak on this?
Will we close the public?
We have a motion and a second to close the public hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. I want to also announce Council Member Bond is to my left.
So, Commissioner, the traffic circle was on the city register of streets or no?
It's been unclear. Everyone has always assumed that it was part of Georgia Tech's property, and so.
But it's not listed. It's not listed right on our register, right?
Right. So, okay. So what we're doing is officially abandoning it to clear up the confusion from 40 years ago.
Move approval.
Hold on just a second. Did you have a, Ivory, did you have a comment?
Question.
Is there any
What are the costs involved with this? My assumption is that it's a simple conveyance. But what I'm interested in is we've done quite a bit of that in recent years with our friends, Georgia Tech. And I hope we're keeping a registry or a log as to the actual value of what it is that we're providing. I think it's important that we document it. As time goes on, we've enjoyed great relations with Dr. Peterson, his administration, and Tech. But I think it's just very important that we acknowledge what's being done in total. So I hope that there's an effort to accurately and fully document all of the benefit that we're providing to the state of Georgia and Georgia Tech, dollar-wise.
We will take that into consideration with our legal and real estate team. We'll make sure that that's part of the transaction process.
All right.
Any other questions, comments? We have a motion to approve by Ms. Smith. And a second. And do we need to read it in?
We do.
Okay.
1801241, an ordinance by Councilmember Michael Julian Bund authorizing the mayor or her designee to abandon an unused traffic circle connected to First Drive consisting of approximately 0.217 acres and being more specifically described in the attached Exhibit A, lying and being in landlots 80 and 81 of the 14th District of Fulton County, Georgia, to the Georgia Institute of Technology and for other purposes.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Motion is carried. Next item on the agenda is ordinances for second read, and we are going to take number 7 and 9 first. Deputy Commissioner Chris Lewis, you're going to speak to this, please.
And I'll go ahead and sound them in if it's okay.
Thank you.
Item number 7 is 18R3641. A resolution by City Utilities Committee authorizing the mayor to enter into Amendment Number 3 with Reeves Contracting Company, the Corbett Group JV for FC 7791, annual contract for water facilities on behalf of the Department of Watershed Management to add funding for additional services in an amount not to exceed $6,000,000. All contracted work will be charged to and paid from the fund, department, organization, and account number listed, and for other purposes. And the companion funding ordinance is 1801246, is item number 9. And it reads, an ordinance by City Utilities Committee authorizing the Chief Financial Officer to amend the FY 2018-2001 Water and Wastewater Bond Fund Budget and 2009A Water and Wastewater Bond Fund Budget in the amount of $6,000,000 to transfer funds from the Capital Projects Reserve for Appropriations and add funds to the Small Diameter Distribution System Rehabilitation and Replacement Project and for other purposes.
Commissioner.
Good morning. Chris Lewis, Department of Watershed Management. The purpose of this is to, it's several things. One is to help replenish some funds that were used for emergency repairs, as well as to help us continue to make the repairs on hydrants, mains, valves, and other pertinent items for the city's distribution system. So any questions?
We have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Motions are carried.
Thank you.
We'll go back to number 4 on the agenda, which is there's a motion to hold this legislation.
Second.
There's a public hearing on the 26th and a work session on June 11th. This is regarding the increase in solid waste rates. We have a motion to approve.
To hold,
excuse me. And with a second, and Santana, you're going to read it in.
Yes, it's item 1801300, an ordinance by City Utilities Committee to amend Chapter 130, Article 3, Municipal Collection and Disposal System Division 4, Section 130.84, Rates and Charges, and Appendix B of the City of Atlanta Code of Ordinances to adjust the rate charge for solid waste collection services for the time period beginning July 1, 2018, to update certain provisions to bring the Solid Waste Code into compliance with the Department of Public Works Solid Waste Plan and for other purposes.
Great. We have a motion and a second. Motion to hold. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. The motion is held.
Okay.
Yes, the work session is June 11th, and the public hearing is June 26th. Next is a resolution. It's number 5, and there is a motion to hold that. You want to read that in, Santana?
Yes, it's 18R3637. A resolution by Councilmember Michael Julian Bunn authorizing the mayor or her designee to execute an appropriate special procurement to be designated as FCXXX with Rubicon Global LLC Solid Waste Smart Technology on behalf of the Department of Public Works in an amount not to exceed $96,000.00 to be charged to and paid from fund, department, organization, and account numbers listed herein and for other purposes. And the department has requested that we hold this.
We have a motion to hold and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. Motion is held. Next item on the agenda is agenda item number 6, and we're going to take that together with number 10. Santana, would you please read those in?
Yes. This item number 6 is 18R3640. It's a resolution by City Utilities Committee authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement for FC9860 Utoy Creek Various Projects Group 1 Aeration Tanks A and B Cleaning with Western Summit Constructors Incorporated for cleaning aeration tanks and basins A and B on behalf of the Department of Watershed Management in an amount not to exceed $2,110,150.00. All contracted work will be charged to and paid from the fund, department, organization, and account number listed and for other purposes. And the companion ordinance number 10 is 18L1247, an ordinance by City Utilities Committee authorizing the Chief Financial Officer to amend the FY 2018-2009 Water and Wastewater Bond Fund budget in the amount of $768,221.00 to transfer funds from the Capital Project Reserve for Appropriations and add funds to the Utoy Creek WRC Aeration Tanks Aluminum Slide Gates Project and for other purposes.
Mr. Picaro.
Good morning, Rob Bacaro, Department of Watershed Management. Good morning, Council members. Under this project, the aim is to clean and rehabilitate the aeration tanks at Utoy Creek Wastewater Reclamation Centre. We've got some aluminum slide gates that have corroded, including the frames. We also plan to remove some silt accumulation or biosolids accumulation, as well as when we do that, we will also repair some of the aeration piping and diffusers at the bottom of the aeration tanks.
We have a motion to approve. Any questions or comments beforehand?
Second.
We have a motion and a second for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Motion's approved. Thank you. Santana, I believe that completes the items on our legislative agenda. We do have a couple of updates here. First update is from Deputy Commissioner of the Office of Information Management, Amanda Fitzpatrick. And she is going to give us an update on the how the cyber attack is impacting their operations and where we are on that. Commissioner, sure.
Thank you. Keisha Powell, Department of Watershed Management. I just want to provide a little bit of context before Amanda gets into the technical details. I understand that some customers have indicated that it has been suggested that we have recovered from the ransomware attack. And I just want to clarify that we're in a process of recovery. I think the COO has said several times that this is going to take some time before all systems, all processes are back to normal. We're still using manual processes, and we still have a number of staff that had access to applications that do not have access to applications. So with billing, for instance, which is where a question has come up, when the ransomware attack happened, we were not able to read meters for a couple of days. We were not able to bill. Our first order of business, so that we could continue getting revenue in and getting people's bills back on track, was to focus on billing. To do that, the information management team was able to bring the application that we use for billing and to accept meter reads back up in a basically have the folks that had access hardwired in. So they set up a room to do that, and we've gotten about 25 people access where we had close to 300 people that had access to this application before. So there are some processes and some services that are running behind that we have to catch up on. Our second order of business was to make sure that we could get people's services turned on, and we received an issue this morning where someone was not able to have their service turned on since mid-May, and we'll look into that, but we'll get the service turned on. But any issues that people have with getting services turned on or any other questions that they have, they can call the Department of Watershed Management directly, or they can call 311 and enter a service request for us to address that issue. So I just wanted to give it some context, because we're in no way suggesting that we have completely recovered from the cyber attack. There are still impacts, but thanks to Amanda and her team, they have been able to get us a lot further along than we were when this incident first happened, and she can give you a bit more detail on the technical.
Good morning. Amanda Fitzpatrick, Department of Watershed Management. Just to echo what Commissioner Powell has spoken, at the onset of the cyber incident, which was March the 23rd when we came in, all of our systems were not available. Our Inquesta billing system, though it had not been impacted by the cyber incident, a decision was made to put it on its own segregated network. What that means is we pulled it out of the city's infrastructure and built a new infrastructure for the Inquesta application that guaranteed that it was not accessible by any other people than the ones that were hardwired into that system. In order for us to set the billing system back up, we also developed two rooms which were called command centers, and those centers housed 23 employees. So as Commissioner Powell has spoken, Inquesta was accessed by 300 employees before the incident. After the incident, we only have 23 employees who can have access to that application. We're also working to take it completely out of our infrastructure, and it's going to be managed by vendors as software as a service. It's on track to go live June 15th, and what that does is allow all users who had access to Inquesta to now have access. So around June 15th through the 22nd, we look at our employees being able to have full access back to the system. The system itself is up and running. We have two components that customers had access to that are not. One in relations to their ability to make payments using the customer IVR system. So customers were able to call in to 311. They were able to select a prompt, and it would give them their bill amount and also give them the ability to make payments on their bills. That service has not been restored. We're in the process of restoring that service. As it relates to the Capricorn portal, which gave customers the ability to take care of their account online, it was not restored until April 26th. And so now it has been fully restored, and if customers want to make payments, view their account, view past bills, or enter disputes, they can do it now via the portal.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions, comments?
Chuck.
So when might everything be, I don't know if normal's the right word, but whatever the new normal's going to be?
I would defer to our Commissioner Daphne Rackley to give a full overview. From a watershed perspective, we look to have our IVR restored by the end of June. Our billing application will be in the cloud as of June 15th through the 22nd. What that means is customers will have a fully restored system from a watershed perspective. As it relates to the work that needs to take place on our infrastructure, the deployment of our computers, things of that nature, that is more of a conversation that needs to be addressed with Commissioner.
Probably, as is my next question, which is the extent to which our insurance policy might cover some of this.
Yes, I definitely will allow Daphne Rackley to speak to that.
So what about plant operations, pump stations, lift stations, et cetera?
That's a good question. So the Department of Watershed Management, our instrumentation systems that run our water pumps were not connected to our city network. Those remain fully functional. There are upgrades that were already in plan that needs to take place. But as it relates to the cyber incident itself did not have an impact on our instrumentation tools. What we had to disconnect was the ability of our plant stations to talk to each other. So we've had to go to manual processes where from one remote location they can't look. They have to have staff there on a regular basis to look at all of our monitoring pumps. They can't do it remotely, but the instrumentation equipment itself was not impacted.
Expected EPA, EPD fines or penalties?
We don't expect any. We have been in constant communication with EPD. Since this issue happened, we have alerted them of information that we lost. Some of it we've been able to recreate, recover, get from emails for reports. For the most part, we've been able to get the reporting turned in on time, but we did notify them that there may be some impacts to timeliness of submissions. But we're trying to hold to the deadlines as much as possible. From a system operation standpoint, our folks do manual entries and log books anyway. So the impact was in getting information input to submit because the state requires electronic submittal of information. So,
thank you.
I want to announce that we are joined by Council Member Winslow to my right at the end, and also Ms. Smith has a question.
Just stay there, Ms. Powell. what has happened, I'll just tell everyone what's happened over the weekend was we had a couple of people that were having problems, and us talking about this, thank you for coming, Miss IT, is that I'm being reminded that, like the mayor said over and over and over, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So this is reminding me, because we're all sort of feeling like we're getting back to normal. Our computers are on. Our emails are coming in regularly now. I don't feel like I'm missing emails anymore. And so we're starting to feel like we're back to normal, but we're not. That's what this weekend with these two incidents has pointed out. Is number one, we had someone that applied for new service. She's moving her office, and she's trying to get her water turned on, and so she can use the bathroom. I mean, it really, and it also reminds you how important water and our basic yes. services that we provide are, they're important. But anyway, it's been about 10 days. So you may need to check your manual methods, because going back, we're not used to doing manual methods. And so this one either fell through the cracks or... which is hopefully what happened. I'm hoping it's not taking 10 to 14 to 20 days to get new service installed. And then the other one was a bill when they stopped their service, they were trying to get their very last bill.
The final bill.
But with you explaining, and thank you, yes, we do need current bills to be prioritized over what we're doing now. So I'm hoping that y'all are going to take this information from this weekend and kind of push those things along. We appreciate everything that you're doing, and I'll just ask you, which I know you're not going to know the answer to it, but what is the average on a new account? Like, say, if you just closed on your home and the previous owner has turned the water off and you need the water on, about how many days does it normally take? And then about what is the average expected time right now?
That we have a service level agreement for that, and I'll confirm, is it 2 to 4 days that it should take to get the water service turned on if you move in and you establish a new account? And of course, we ask that folks provide, they get that process started as soon as possible, because most folks know that they're going to close. They have to send some information in order for us to establish the account. And I just getting this morning, I wasn't armed with all of the metrics, because I think it's easy to see a handful of issues that are communicated and not see the bigger picture of all of the accounts that we manage and all of the services that were turned on within that time period. And again, we have a limited group of folks that are hardwired in that had to catch up on billing. I think in one day we send out 14,000 bills to catch up. We also had to catch up on those closing requests. The SLA is 10 days. We caught up so much that we were getting the information out in one day, and now we're getting folks that are calling saying we haven't gotten it. It's only been 3 days. So we are working. It has been a challenge for staff because they are having to make sure that they are communicating across divisions, and they're doing that very well. I received an email from a staff member that reported how much revenue we brought in one day. I think the number was $1.3 million. With the manual processes, they've kept their eye on the ball and not let things slip. So I do want to say that folks are working very hard. So for the things that have slipped through the cracks, we'll address it as soon as possible. But that does not represent the magnitude of the work that's been done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Young?
With regard to long-term service agreements, you know, when we deal with malware and firewalls and all the things that you may choose, there's the emergency status to get us functional, and then there's the long-term relationships that we established. Are there some basic philosophies that you're governed by in terms of how you engage in the long-term commitments? Is there I know it's a state of emergency, mm-hmm. so oftentimes we use that as a means to engage in emergency contracts. But are we doing everything that we can to make sure that we don't get another Oracle pulled on us and wind up having a huge amount of unexpected, added, unnecessary expenses that we just didn't vet thoroughly enough over a long period of time? I understand we've got things that we've got to deal with. Is my question making sense?
It does.
All right.
So I can only speak for the Department of Watershed Management. In response to the cyber incident, we had around 11 procurements that either needed to be escalated, handled as emergencies or as special procurements. We met with procurement ourselves, as well as Commissioner Powell, and we made a decision that we would not utilize the emergency policy unless it was absolutely necessary. So for the Department of Watershed Management, we only had two emergency procurement requests that will be presented tomorrow in FEC. One is around our firewall. Our firewalls had to be segregated. They had to be upgraded to ensure that people could not come into our environment, not even city users, that we didn't want to give them access unduly. And so we brought in a firewall vendor to upgrade our firewalls, as well as to do work on our firewalls to restrict users down to those that only needed to use it. The second emergency we have is in regards to our billing system, where we had to segregate it out on its own network. And then once we segregated, they helped us to do the integrations with the other applications that connect into the billing system, and the third is to move it to the cloud, which we're looking to do by June 15th. The rest of our procurements are handled using the regular procurement channel for the Department of Watershed Management.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this topic? One more question for Commissioner Powell regarding Hemp Hill Reservoir.
Yes. So last week, Thursday, we were notified that there was some unusual flow in a parking lot near the Hemp Hill Reservoir number one dam. That's the reservoir that sits closest to the water lodge. We also, it was also noted that there was some unusual flow coming from a drain at the toe of the dam to the reservoir. So our staff, Office of Watershed Protection, as well as, the Office of Water Treatment and Reclamation staff, went into action in our using our emergency response plan to investigate the issue, contact Safe Dams, and we did sampling and several other things to try to understand the nature of the flow. We determined that this was not an emergency, but it would be considered a level one unusual event or flow occurrence, an unusual occurrence. So we're continuing to investigate. We contacted the consultants that have assisted with the emergency action plan. Again, met with Safe Dams on site on Friday morning. They walked the dam, took note of the issues, the seepage, evidence of seepage along the toe of the dam, and as well as the reservoir. We decided to treat the use water only from reservoir one for treatment, in order to lower the level of the dam, which, I'm sorry, reservoir, the lake level, which ultimately has lessened the seepage or the flow into that drain. So we took that down to basically take the reservoir out of service until we can do some further investigation. And we had just on last Monday had a kickoff meeting with the consultants that are going to be assisting us with addressing seepage. The seepage from this facility has occurred previously, and we're going to address that issue before it's placed back into service.
Any questions on this?
So just out of an abundance of caution, we issued a press release to notify of the investigation. However, we did note that it was not an emergency at this point.
Where's the water drain to? The river?
It is draining to, this makes its way to the Tanyard Creek facility. What is that? Is that Tanyard Creek? Yeah.
What were the causes and remediation activities required in these previous incidents that you mentioned?
In the previous incidents, it looks like around 1990s or so, the reservoir was taken out of service. There was seepage observed. We're still trying to get information on the history of things that have occurred. There was a repair to a drain for the reservoir, and then ultimately there was work done to put the reservoir back in service, and it went back in service in March of 2017. However, the seepage continues, and we've got to get an idea of where it's coming from and what's causing it to happen. But this dam is very old. It was put in service in 1800s.
All right. So your operations can withstand a sustained loss of that reservoir?
Yes. So we'll be using reservoir 2.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Mon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This isn't about the reservoir, but I received an alert this morning about a potential main break at 809.
809.
Can you give us an update on that?
I don't have a full update. What I do know is that they, the last shift had called in locates for it. I haven't received word on the size. I haven't checked my dispatch notification, but I can check that and let you know right after if there's any additional information. But it was being investigated as a main break, and we'll provide further information.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. 809
MLK?
Yes.
Near Brawley?
Yes. Right. We also have, we had a 62-inch sewer cave-in, I think last week, as well as a major water main break at our 14th Street facility. So the folks have been pretty busy over the weekend. And you'll be seeing communication go out about that particular issue because we'll be putting critical facilities on notice simply because of its proximity to our the treatment plant. So it's not on the header from the pump station, but it's very close. We tried to isolate that break over the weekend, and that did not work. So we've been bringing in materials. We're going to do line stops to isolate that break and make the repair. So we always have some pretty critical things going on, but that's one that's in the works right now.
Anything else? Thank you, Commissioner. We sure appreciate what you and your team do for the city.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next item on the agenda are comments from the public. We have two folks signed up. The first is Mr. Shakir.
Good morning. I appreciate hearing that last report because this is what my comment is really around. We look at Detroit, and we look at a city, a major city, an industrial city of the world, going bankrupt. And I think that if we don't be careful, because the city of Atlanta is in a very fragile place, when we have imaging that's more important than what's really important in the real values or the priorities that should be pursued. We have seen in the last 8 years more PR than we have of actual that we have seen in the last 24 years through the last three administrations. The idea is that that we have fake priorities like the Beltline, streetcars, that we have not looked at the data to yield the impact large portion of communities or our infrastructure. We have streets like Cascades where there's a go to stop, go and a stop, because we actually have prioritizing a project which has been the largest project in America, the Beltline. I think we look very carefully at that. It's a fake priority. The idea that we have a planning committee right now who's purchasing and buying, facilitating citizens with hundreds of thousands of dollars to hear from engagement of the community, and those are fake priorities and fake imaging of who's actually engaging. I said for the last couple of weeks, we had a major meeting of the Martin Luther King Corridor where three people showed up, and Council Mercer's person said they sent out over 600 door-to-door notices, and I question that. But I would ask you, as council people, to look at what has happened to this city in the last 24 years when a question was made by the chair, and that question was, any comments by the council? The direct thing after that was a comment to any questions by the public. The public voices would make this city a safer place if we can be respectful of that process of engaging them. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Shakir. Next person for comment is Tony Torrance. Did I get that correctly?
JP. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, excuse me. Council Member Winslow.
Yeah, I just want to address, and I appreciate you bringing up the Martin Luther King meeting. That was one of many meetings that was had over a two-year period. That was the last of the meetings, so that those people who had not had not taken an opportunity to come to meetings, at least four or five other meetings, like I said, over the last 2 years, had not been able to make that last meeting to be able to make it before the actual work got started.
Yes, but Ms. Hunt.
And you were talking about improvements. I'm not sure what improvements
Ms.
you were talking about. Wait a minute. Hold on. I want to see if I can address your question. I think I just wanted to make that comment because you brought it up on a number of occasions. And you talked about improvements in certain parts of town and not in other parts of town. And I'm not sure if you're talking about streetscape improvements or if you're talking about something else.
All of that. Well, you know that there's discussion to actually expand streetcars all over the city. Now, we know, as citizens, we don't know how secret that process is, but we know that people are engaged in this here. This conversation is going on. And we're talking about anything that disrupts the city streets is having an impact possibly on our sewer system. These are false products. We have built bridges. And you know, you was at that meeting. Within two or three blocks, there were streets that was cut off that you, Mr. Young, or yourself didn't know nothing about it.
What streets are cut off?
Well, you know the ones that was denied. Let's leave it coming from the stadium, going up, going west, and the street to the right was open, but the streets to the left wasn't. I don't live in that area, but I pass that area quite frequently. So you know what those were, and you stood up, and Mr. Young stood up and said, no, that can't happen. So I'm just saying, as elected officials, the citizens can help engage this process if the citizens would be respected the way they have in the last three prior to this past administration, the prior three of Franklin Young and another fellow, Campbell. You understand, if we have shrunk the process of citizens being asked to say, can we comment on agenda? And they have not taken up have not been a big time take up if we would allow that to happen. We can add something to this process.
And I think maybe perhaps because there may not be something going on where you particularly live, and I don't know where you live, but there are lots of things happening, I know, in districts 3 and 4. A lot of improvements happening in District 12 because those districts, they come together. So a lot of times we'll have joint meetings. So I have a number of different ways of getting information out to my constituents. They do get it. And as I said before, generally, like with the Cascade Corridor meeting, as you already know, you've been fully engaged in that, okay?
It's a lot of people turning up.
Yeah,
for that.
a lot of people showing up. Why do you think they're showing up? Because we're getting the word out.
Yeah, but we're talking about Martin Luther King Corridor.
No. But what I'm, but the point I'm making is the same point that you're making, okay, is the fact that you want people to be informed.
Yes.
We've had 4 Cascade meetings, a minimum of 4, in the last year and a half. And we're going to continue to have those meetings as we progress. So we're not trying to hide anything from the public. It's all open to the public. We get information out by mail.
Thank you.
Sometimes by one call, other times by we put it on Facebook, we email out, and then we also go do door-to-door, and then we go to the NPU meetings and to the neighborhood meetings and give out information as to when constituents can come and get updated on things. So the information is out there. It just may not be in the area where you are at the time and where you're getting the information.
You asked the question, and I would tell you as a member.
No, I gave you an answer.
Yeah. As the MP, let me just say this here to her point. The NPU meetings, their citizens, not only NPUR, has been shut down, not being able to participate. And I'm saying that if we just examine that and see what we have shut down, and maybe we can open up and we'll get better product and a better priorities.
Well, I got a hot mic here, and it's open. How about that?
Hold on just a second. Ms. Shepherd.
I'm sorry, Tony. Excuse me for just one moment. Commissioner, I have to leave, but I do have a question for you that was a part of our memorandums. I see the Group 3 contract sewer locations projects.
Yes.
That was a part of the document. I think Ms. Winslow had requested that.
Yes, she did.
Okay, so I just kind of went and looked over it. Can you just explain something real quickly to me? I see where it says... you have a layout here, but it shows you breaking it down most phase 3 on page 6 of 6, where it talks about the different districts, council districts, and what's being assigned in terms of funding and money. So most phase 3 fiscal year 2018 ROM dollars, does that mean that that's going to happen this year?
Let me just catch up to where you are. I'm sorry. These are the projects that are slated for fiscal year 18, and which were in the CIP.
we would, if you have a question about a specific mm-hmm. project, we can follow up with you on okay. timing because okay. we are, just because we had to procure the contractor to yeah. actually implement the work.
One in particular that I see here is the Ashwood Pick Fair Way project. That's the one that I guess still get a lot of complaints about, and I see it's on your schedule for 2018. I just need to let the community know where we are in terms of that.
Do you happen to know the schedule for that particular? Okay.
Rob Beccaro, Department of Watershed Management. Councilmember Shepherd, if I could just comment just a couple okay. of things just on we've received bids for doing the most work, which includes phase two, phase three type work. We're just completing the evaluation. We will be making recommendations very, very shortly. So, in fact, it's going through legislation. So our plan is all these projects that are listed here will be executed under that contract. So we have designs that are in progress, but the construction will not start until we've actually got a contract in place.
So you project that sometime this year, but you don't know, or you're saying you're actually getting the contracts ready, but you really don't have any dates yet?
I don't have dates at the current time. But okay, the contract will be starting in probably FY19, so okay. after July.
Okay, well, I'm glad to see Ashwood Pick Fair on there. That's been a continuous problem, and every time I go to a community meeting there, they want to know when I'm going to get started on it. So I just saw that, and it was a flag for me. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. Tony, thank you for your patience. Please.
Thank you very much. And for that return of being patient, I would like to ask that you add on an extra minute for me. Not laughing, but it's due respect, because I had patience. It's sure. called civic government, leverage of both sides. We both share power. Tony Torrance, community advocate. In order for us to really be the city we want to be, I think we really need to focus on the hearing and listening to what the community and residents are saying that lives in those neighborhoods. Question for me is, one, how many community service projects or service agreements that you have with residents who live inside these watersheds? Why am I asking this? Other major cities are already doing this on a global level. We should be creating agreements with residents who live in those neighborhoods to provide technical assistance with the watershed department. Other major cities are doing this on a global level. Another thing that needs to happen, we need to do a real assessment of how many properties in this city is prone to flooding. How many APS schools are prone to flooding and may have mildew associated with it? Why to ask this question? We have a real problem with our sewer and wastewater system. I'm sorry, it may not be adequate enough to fit today's population as we're growing to become a global city. So I would ask that we take precautionary steps, that's the first thing, to deal with our sewer and wastewater infrastructure while our population is increasing. Because we have a bunch of APS schools that you may not be aware about. Washington High School was one of them that was prone to flooding, that had mold problems inside that school. So I know there's other APS schools that have the same challenges because our kids are there and the teachers are saying and speaking on it, but they're asked to be quiet about it. They're sick. They have headaches. I don't know if you know what's the impact of mold, but it will get you very sick. If it's green, if it turns black, you have problems. That's the city's biggest challenge that we need to address now, to take precautionary principles and steps to slow down some of this runoff, because we have all this concrete in the city. We cannot talk about green infrastructure, parks, and trails while you're still putting in concrete It's not helping. The city has a drainage problem. 3 and 4 district. I need to talk to my council members. We have seniors that still complaining in your district, Cleta, and your district, Ivory, talking about how do we deal with stormwater runoff affecting their properties. That's another challenge that we have. We got to be honest about what's going on with that dome, the reason why it was towed down. The foundation was not settling.
You can wrap it was up your built, comments, please.
Yes, thank you, because we were built inside of a floodplain. Let's be honest. And that we need to deal with this on the front end, because people thinking that the city is the city to come to until they deal with the air, water, and the soil. Myself is a technical person, and I live in English Avenue, and I live in Proctor Creek. And I do want to have the presentation to be done by our commissioner to talk about the environmental impact bond of that $12 million.
Thank you.
Some of those funds should be set aside, and I'm going to close down.
Thank you.
Some of those funding should be set aside for just for like for benefits for residents who want to come in and provide technical assistance. We should leave that open. We should create jobs.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. I think that's it. Everything on the agenda. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Mr. Baller.